So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, first chapter, observing the armies, and we will read from text 42 onwards until 46, the last verse of the chapter. I first read the Sanskrit. Toseretai kulaknanam parna sankarakarakai utsatyante chati dharma kuladharma sasvata. By the evil deeds of those who destroy the family tradition and thus give rise to unwanted children, all kinds of community projects and family welfare activities are devastated. Purport. Community projects for the four orders of human society combined with family welfare activities as they are set forth by the institution of Sanatana Dharma or Varnashram Dharma are designed to enable the human being to attain his ultimate salvation. Therefore, the breaking of the Sanatana Dharma tradition by irresponsible leaders of society brings about chaos in that society, and consequently people forget the aim of life, Vishnu. Such leaders are blind, and persons who follow such leaders are sure to be led into chaos. That I will also read text 34. I will read the other verse. It's not so. Utsana kula dharmanam manusyanam janardanam narake niyatam vasho bhavatit anushusruma. O Krishna, maintainer of the people, I've heard by the cyclic succession that those whose family traditions are destroyed dwell always in hell. Purport. Arjuna bases his argument not on his own personal experience, but on what he has heard from the authorities. That is the way of receiving real knowledge. One can reach the real point of factual knowledge without being helped by the right person who is already established in that knowledge. There is a system in the Varnashram institution by which before death one has to undergo the process of atonement for his sinful activities. One who is always engaged in sinful activities must utilize the process of atonement called prayaschitta. Without doing so, one surely will be transferred to hellish planets to undergo miserable lives as a result of sinful activities. Text 44. Ahobatamat papam kartum vyavasita vayam yatracha sukalobena hantum svajanam utyata. Alas, how strange it is that we are preparing to commit greatly sinful acts. Driven by the desire to enjoy royal happiness, we are intent on killing our own kinsmen. Purport. Driven by selfish motives, one may be inclined to such sinful acts as the killing of one's own brother, father or mother. There are many such instances in the history in the world, but Arjuna, being a saintly devotee of the Lord, is always conscious of moral principles and therefore takes care to avoid such activities. Text 45. Yadimam apratikaram ashastram shastrapanaram Dhartarashtra Ranehanyus Tamek Sema Trambavit. Better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. Purport. It is a custom according to Kshatriya fighting principles that an unarmed and unwilling foe should not be attacked. Arjuna, however, decides that even if attacked by the enemy in such an awkward position, he should not fight. He did not consider how much the other party was bent upon fighting. All these symptoms are due to soft-heartedness resulting from his being a great devotee of the Lord. 46. Sanjaya Vacha Ivan Ukvaryana Sankye Rata Pastor Pavishat Vichritya Sasaram Sapam Sukasam Vishna Manasa. Sanjaya said, Arjuna, having thus spoken on the battlefield, cast aside his bow and arrows and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed with grief. Purport. While observing the situation of his enemy, Arjuna stood up on the chariot, but he was so afflicted with lamentation that he sat down again, setting aside his bow and arrows. Such a kind of soft-hearted person in the devotional service of the Lord is fit to receive self-knowledge. This ends the Bhaktivedanta purpose of the first chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of observing the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Jnanjana Smata Sakshuran Militam Yena Tasman Sri Gauravena Chittayon Abhishtam Saptam Yena Bhutali Svamrupakadamayam Dadanti Svam Padantikam Pandiyam Shiroshi Yutta Pada Kamanam Shirum Vaishnavam Sanshi Rupam Jagajatam Sakamaragnatam Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parishana Saitam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Devan Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Nita Shiv Shakam Vitamsa He Krishna Guruna Sinudina Bandar Jyotpati Gopesha Kopra Kanta Radha Kanta Namaste Te Tapta Kanta Nagari Radhe Vrindavanashvri Vishvana Sudha Devi Pranamaya Hari Priya Pankha Kalpta Vrishya Kripasin Vrivshya Patnam Pivani Vyo Vaishnam Vyo Namo Namo Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasitaya Buddhari Srimati Bhakti Charishanti Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vasitaya Buddhari Srimati Bhakti Namaste Sarasvata Deva Gauravani Pachari Nirvishisha Sunyavadi Paskacha Satam Prabhupada. So here Arjuna is bringing forward that point of destruction of the family tradition. So this is a very sinful act that we see in the character of Arjuna. He feels himself very responsible. The devotee is responsible. He knows and he takes responsibility for his actions. He takes responsibility for his karma also. If he receives karma, he knows that's because of my past misdeeds, and he accepts and it's in the Bhagavatam that when Tatena Kampam Susamiksham Mahajanya Fatma Fitam Vibakam Ritvakfabhuvirvidatam Stage Vidyam Kutpatim Sadayabhak. That's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says, one who undergoes suffering and accepts his karma and feels guilty about it, but he undergoes it and he fixes his mind on the Supreme Lord, that he has the right claim for liberation. Yes, he can claim liberation. Yeah. He has the right. So that's responsibility, moral responsibility we see here. He thinks further, he thinks about the consequences of his actions. Like If we do that, then that will be the consequences. We have heard before in a purport that if one sees that the consequences of the results of his actions are not good, then there is no duty of to do it. So Arjuna is considering all these things. What are the results of our actions? Still, he fails to come to the right conclusion, because he decides, I will not fight. But if one decides to fight, and one wants the kingdom, then there will be a reaction, because one wants the fruits. But if one says, yeah, I will not do my duty, I'm not doing it, because I don't want these results, it will be bad results. That's aversion. That's the other side of attachment. And that gives also reactions. So renunciation is not the solution. You still have the reactions of not fighting, because it's your duty. It's sinful not to fight. That is, it's a neglect of duty. You see also that principle of responsibility here. The devotee sees the responsibility in doing is one's duty, but without attachment to the results. That's the spiritual duty. Do it for Krishna. So there is, and then we come again to that same point. Fighting is one thing, but the consciousness with which we fight, that will determine whether we get reactions or not. And the consciousness is a subtle factor. So the subtle factor, considering the subtle factor that consider, that's going together with considering the highest moral principle, and that's doing what Krishna wants. That's a very important point. In text 43, Arjuna is calling Krishna again Janardhan. He has done that before. Janardhan means one who maintains all the people. So Janardhan. So he's saying to Krishna, oh Krishna, you want me to engage myself in this horrible act and kill and finish the dynasty, that he says. But you are Janardhan, maintainer. And why, if you are the maintainer, why are you engaging me in destroying? You are the maintainer of the people. So text 42 says all the welfare activities will be destroyed. And in text 43, there is said that Arjuna is referring to authority. He is heard from the cyclic succession. So that's very good. We should always, in all our activities, refer to authority. And what's the real authority? Is authority of the spiritual master. Or the authority of Krishna. The spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. He says the same as Krishna. So devotional service means I am acting on the order of the spiritual master. And then one engages one's mind in devotional service. If the consideration is I'm engaging my mind because I want to enjoy the senses, that's material consciousness. then one gets very reactions. That it's reactions is a kind of. Of course, we have the reactions of our actions, but there is also the main thing is that these are actions which produces bodies, future bodies. We are creating now our future body by our actions. Now do we create it by our consciousness, how we engage. And future body, yeah, if we always fix the mind on Krishna and act for his pleasure, then we are creating spiritual body. But bodies are created every moment by our own activities. That so here this is another reference from Purnachana Maharaj to Krishna's Janardhan. That so if you maintain the people, then also maintain me. So Arjuna says that I've heard by the cyclic succession. So Arjuna has his quotes, but the personification of Dharma is standing there looking at him right in the eye. So Arjuna has all his reasons that but he thinks in I and mine and not about what Krishna wants. In text 44 starts with Aho Bhata. Alas, how strange it is that Aho Bhata is a Sanskrit word that brings great emphasis to the next point that is going to be made. Yes. And text 45, Arjuna says, better for me if the sons of Dhritarashtra, weapons in hand, were to kill me unarmed and unresisting on the battlefield. So that's a very strange for a Kshatriya to say such a thing. And Bhujan Prabhu explains that why this is so strange and that. So, text 45, Arjuna is thinking, why is that better for me? If I do not fight on the battlefield, I'm a Kshatriya. What can I do to maintain myself? So he decides, Arjuna, I'm not going to fight. How am I going to live? I have no kingdom. I will have to maintain myself by begging. That is a horrible thing for a Kshatriya, to live by begging. Once Bhima was out, when he was traveling on the Gandhamadana hill. The Gandhamadana hill, there are the gardens of Kuvera. Not somewhere high in the Himalayas. And in these gardens there are no humans allowed to go there. It is that but Bhima and Draupadi were had quite similar dispositions. This is Purjan Prabhu explaining. They were both really fiery Kshatriyas. Interesting to say that. That means that women of the Kshatriya class are also Kshatriyas. That's something interesting. One day, when they were at the hermitage of Naranarayan Rishi, one incredibly fragrant 1,000-petaled lotus flower came floating down, being carried by the breeze. And Draupadi saw this, and she said, Bhim, this lotus flower is so nice. I should offer this to you this too much. Could you get me a few more? In that way, we can take them back to our hermitage. Bhima, immediately after hearing this request, grabbed his bow and arrows and started charging on a hill where no mortals were allowed to go. And he was crying and bellowing out at the elephants and lions, out at the elephants and lions who became terrified. Lions became terrified. He was knocking down trees. He was doing all kinds of outrageous deeds. And finally he got to this lake and found these lotus flowers. This was Kuvera's lake, and Bhima was not even allowed there. And all of a sudden, hundreds of Rakshasas came and they said, What are you doing here? Bhima said, picking lotus flowers. They said, you can do this, but if you want, then just go and ask Kuvera for permission. And if he gives you permission, you can take all the lotus flowers you want. Otherwise, these are his gardens. If you don't get permission, then there is going to be great trouble for you. Bhima got out of the water and said, I'm a Kshatriya. I don't beg and ask for favors from anyone. Of course, the Yakshasas then attacked Bhima, and he completely murdered them all. But to beg for a Kshatriya, it is just not part of the culture, not their mentality. And then Arjuna said, it's better for to beg for me and suffer complete humiliation in this life than to have to kill all my kinsmen and then suffer all the reactions for all the sins that will make me suffer for thousands and thousands of years. That's in the second chapter, Krishna will one point after another reply to these reasons of Arjuna, all these doubts. Arjuna says there will be no enjoyment, there will be sin and reactions and so on, that Krishna will address them one by one. This is another comment from Purnachandra Maharaj. Arjuna's statements exhibit his quality of detachment, being so renounced that he is willing to be killed on the battlefield. Srila Prabhupada says again that all these symptoms are due to soft-heartedness resulting from his being a great devotee of the Lord. Arjuna felt that his being killed would be proper atonement for even thinking about killing Bhishma, Drona, his guru and grandfather, because for such a religious pure person, only thinking about killing his guru and his grandfather, he feels it is so sinful. Better that I suffer the atonement of being killed on the battlefield unarmed. Arjuna's quality of detachment. This is a quality of receiving transcendental knowledge. That you can only receive transcendental knowledge and start to understand it if you receive it with detachment. That the mind is too disturbed by sense gratification in the mode of passion. There's no way to understand it. Srila Prabhupada refers to that in the last verse in his commentary. Text 46, there Arjuna is, that's the last verse, is putting down his bow. that is japam. So now Arjun had put down his bow. To understand how significant this is, Arjuna had vowed that anyone who asked me to put down my Gandiva bow, anyone who even suggests that I put down my Gandiva bow, I vow I will kill him. This is how significant it was, and he's putting it down. On the battlefield itself, once Yudhishthira was fighting with Karna, and Karna defeated Yudhishthira and injured him very severely. Yudhishthira was terribly insulted by Karna. Karna said to him, "You are even not a Kshatriya. You should learn how to fight. Look at this, you are defeated. I'm not going to bother killing you in this way. You are not a Kshatriya, you are a Brahmin, so truthful in anything. That is not for a Kshatriya." So to hear that, it was not a great compliment. So then he sent him back to his tent. Yudhishthira was terribly insulted. Karna was laughing how he defeated Yudhishthira and not even killed him, and just sent him back. When Arjun heard that Yudhishthira was severely injured, he immediately left the battlefield and he went to the tent and went to see Yudhishthira. When Yudhishthira heard that Arjun had come, then he left the battlefield and that Arjun had come. Yudhishthira thought that when Arjun heard that Karma had done this to me, there is no question about it. Arjun must have killed Karna, and now he's coming to tell me about it, having revenged my honor. That is the nature of a Kshatriya. He did not even think that there would be any way that Arjun would have acted otherwise, that out of affection he would already have killed Karna. When Arjun walked in his elder brother's room, his elder brother whom he loved so much, and he had heard that he had been injured so severely, immediately he came from the battlefield to see how Yudhishthira was. He did not fight with Karna at all. He just came, and out of deep concern. And Yudhishthira, as soon as he saw him, he said, "Oh Arjun, you have killed Karna and revenged me." And Arjun said, "No, I did not kill Karna. Karna, I just came to see how you are." Yudhishthira became furious. He said, "You have come here and left the battlefield, and you haven't even killed Karna? You fool! How could you have done this? It is better that you give up your Gandiva bow." When Arjun heard this, he was in great trouble. "Oh no, Yudhishthira has suggested I give up my Gandiva bow, and I vow to kill anyone. Krishna, what do I do?" So Krishna took him aside and said, "You have to kill Yudhishthira now. It is your vow. You should kill him by insulting him." So Yudhishthira was sitting there feeling a little bad, and he had spoken to Arjun like this. Arjun said, "You have the nerve to say that I'm a coward and that I have come here improperly after not killing Karna? But you eunuch, look what you have done. You have watched Draupadi being insulted right before your eyes. You have killed the entire Kaurava army. You are not a man. You are not a king." In this way he kept on insulting Yudhishthira, and in that way he killed Yudhishthira's pride. As soon as he did it, he immediately went to Yudhishthira and touched his feet and begged him for forgiveness. "Please, you have to forgive me." So in this way the pastime went on. But Arjun had vowed never ever to put down his bow, for he had vowed to kill anyone who even suggested it. Yet his mind was so disturbed by this horrible scene that he is seeing right before his eyes predicting the most incredible type of disaster and bloodshed for his family members and dearly beloved teacher, that his mind was so disturbed that he cast his bow and arrows aside and sat down on the chariot, his mind overwhelmed by grief. And remember that this is Arjun, not an ordinary fellow. This was a pure heavy Kshatriya, son of Pandu, son of Indra, and how heavy it was for him to take part in this killing. We have to finish Punachana Maharaj's comment. Opposed to text 20, here it was said Danur Udyamya Pandava. He picked up his bow, but now Vichitya Sasyaram Sapam, he rejects and put down his bow because he saw the persons on the other side and is affected by all these feelings. Now Yogamaya descended on him and he gave all of these calculated reasonings why he's not going to fight, and he was feeling completely depressed, completely full of lamentation and sorrow. His body was shaking. It is said that his mouth was drying up. His skin was burning. Prabhupada mentions also that he was crying. He was having a nervous breakdown. He could fight. He could not fight. He could even hold his Gandiva bow. He had to put it down, his sharp on his bow. Totally overwhelmed. A totally different Arjun. That is the Maya Arjun. Before was the real Arjun. So, for our benefit, Krishna was making him the instrument for speaking the knowledge that will liberate mankind. Therefore, he places Arjun in such a role. So he sits down in the chariot, his head in hand, puts aside the bow, and he starts lamenting like this. You can imagine Bhishma, Drona, Duryodhan, Ashvatthama, Kripacharya, they were all watching. What is going on there? Arjuna is not going to fight now. He pulled his chariot in the middle, and the warriors were thinking, what is this? He's going to fight us alone, or maybe he's going to try to make peace? They couldn't understand why Arjuna brought his chariot in the middle of all the armies. And then there is this conversation going on. And then suddenly Arjuna puts his bow down. Duryodhana must have thought, oh good, he's giving up his determination, he has lost his heart. And Bhishma might have thought, what is Arjuna doing? Won't Krishna speak to him and revive his consciousness? Everyone might have seen it in a different way. It would have been very interesting to hear the thoughts of each person on the battlefield when they saw this. But in any case, he was crying, he was shaking, he was lamenting, and he could not possibly see himself fighting in the battle. There was no way that he was going to fight, and that is what he tells Arjuna in the next chapter. Hey Govinda, I cannot fight this battle. I will not fight this battle. Arjuna is completely absorbed in bodily consciousness, and it's the whole thing is about profit calculations in relation to the body, and such profit calculations are a cause of our miseries, of feeling depressed, of feeling and being unsure about the future, Arjuna is mostly concerned about the future, that's a mode of passion, and he foresees what's going to happen, and he starts lamenting about it, So that's also a good important lesson for us. Don't look back to the past, to everything what went wrong. Why are people lamenting for things that went wrong in the past? That so many things went wrong in relationships, and there's lots of things, so many things went wrong. And when the mind meditates on it, that's the mode of ignorance, that lamentation, that and the mode of passion is worrying for the future, anxieties for the future, always in anxieties. That but in the second chapter, Krishna will start explaining solutions for that, how to remove this passion and ignorance, and that first it starts with Jnana, transcendental knowledge. Understand who you are. You are not a body, and we will not die. There are no anxieties for the soul, only for the temporary body. That's Jnana, understanding the difference between matter and spirit. I'm spirit. I'm not a subtle and a gross body. That's knowledge. And one should not lament. That's the first thing Krishna says to Arjuna. First instruction, one should not lament, nor for the living, nor for the dead. because the body is always dead. It's never alive. It appears to be alive. It's the soul that makes the body alive. But alive in the body is the soul. The body is never alive. Anyway, and then after that, Krishna will speak about karma. That one has to do one's duty and should not be attached to the results. And then this karma, because first Krishna will also speak about karma kanda. That's in between acting for enjoyment. Then Krishna says, no, that you have this acting and you have knowledge. You have to combine them. That's Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness means acting in knowledge. What knowledge? That we are the soul, different from the body. And how do you act on that platform? Acting in the consciousness out of duty without attachment to success and failure. That's acting in yoga. That's that action. And that's a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita. That's what Krishna in Bhagavad Gita also explained. He explains Jnana Yoga, he explains Karma Yoga, and then he explains Krishna consciousness. That's the ninth chapter. So that's a different levels of yoga. So therefore, Krishna is going to bring Arjuna out of illusion by giving him first transcendental knowledge and then how to act through the transcendental knowledge. that but this illusion is based on misidentification with the body and thinking that this temporary arrangement of the body, that's my whole existence. That some of our acharyas, this song, says, song that says that life is just like, yeah, a drop of water that falls on a leaf and then falls down. It's just so temporary that we are becoming so absorbed in these temporary arrangements, and that's Maya, illusory energy. And Maya takes our grip through this mode of passion. Rajaguna, Kama Ishikurdaisha Rajaguna Smudva, Masa, Masnama Papna Vityanam, Iyavarinam. This lust, Arjuna, which is the number one, because it covers our intelligence, it makes us think that we are this body. And that's very strong. That one who is under the sway of this lust is convinced I'm this body. And therefore, the whole world lives under the delusion that thinking the body means my land is worshipable. If I'm born in that land, my land is worshipable. It's such an illusion that everyone thinks like that. But I've seen a personal experience that I'm living in a different country now, a different culture. You can see how this illusion works. So that's an important teaching of the Bhagavad Gita. Any questions?